Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and we're kicking off the third hour of the program. You can bring up absolutely anything you want to discuss. Major cuts coming from the OPEC nations and Russia to oil output. What that is perhaps going to mean for the price you pay at the pump. We talk about that coming up here. And what does that mean further for the end of the petrodollar, which a lot of people have been buzzing about recently. Of course, they've been buzzing about it for decades. But is it actually coming this time? It's Ian, Bonnie, and Mark joining you here tonight. We're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts, though. First up, we got Tim on the line in Florida. Go ahead, Tim. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hello, yes. Have you heard of the book Human Action, a Treatise on Economics, Ludwig von Mises?
I have heard of that book. I have never read it. Mark,
did it just come out?
What book?
Yeah, it just came out. It just came out. It's like number 20 on the New York bestsellers. But
Mises, Human Action. Okay. Yeah. What about it?
So hold on. I was making a joke because Ludwig von Mises died decades ago.
Yeah.
Did they really? Oh, so you're making a joke too? Even better. You made me look terrible. Go ahead.
No.
But why do you recommend it? Never. What is the relevance of it here?
Well, it is a great book. I've listened to the audio book about 15 times, and I still have to listen to it over. It's something you have to absorb over and over and over again. But in relationship to currency, he had something in a chapter about basically that a currency, it doesn't matter if it's a government-issued currency, a bank-issued currency, or something that comes into existence naturally. The only way for a currency to become a currency is that there is a consensus among enough people to actually use it.
Yes.
So even if a government comes out with a CBDC, and probably people will accept it, but that is the necessary step. You know, you basically have to have a consensus.
Well, you can guarantee that with a CBDC, the corporations will accept it. So the mega companies, the McDonald's, the Walmarts, the, you know, Home Depot, whatever, they're going to all be on board because essentially a corporation is a creation of the state, and so they're obligated to do what the state says. So if the state says you got to take the CBDC, they will spend the millions of dollars that it takes to upgrade their systems to take the CBDC, and then that'll allow the central bank to announce this, you know, Fed coin or whatever they're going to end up calling it, the digital dollar. They'll have some sort of name for it, and then they'll say, look at all these places you can spend it, and here, we'll even give you some for free to try out. And
they did that in El Salvador with Bitcoin. They gave everybody $5 to sign
up. That's true. I think it was like more like 50 or 35 or something. Yeah, it was like maybe 30. I think it was $30 worth of Bitcoin they gave away in El Salvador. But at least in El Salvador, they weren't forcing all businesses to accept it. But it was the mega companies that did sign on with accepting Bitcoin under the auspices of the legal tender law there in El Salvador. So what else, Tim?
Oh, well, you know, the federal government could also just if they can convince a corporation to take their central bank currency, then they could also just, make a law with the support of corporations. You know, grocery stores, Walmart, all of you people, you're not going to take any digital currency except for our digital currency.
That's the reason I was trying to brainstorm a way to get away from like Walmart and Amazon. I'm agreeing with you.
I think locally in New Hampshire you can do it. That maybe if you sourced manufacturing locally, that would be ideal. I know New Hampshire used to be a big really big on manufacturing. And
yeah, you're going to be paying through the nose, though. That's the problem. If you're not getting your products manufactured in China, you're just not going to be competitive. I mean, you can have some people doing it in your area, but they're going to cost 5 to 10 times as much. That's why it doesn't happen here.
Well, in California, they have In-N-Out Burger, and they limited their menu basically to like 3 or 4 items, and there's a couple off-menu items, and yeah, it really makes deciding what you want, you know, pretty easy. It's like, oh, okay, you have one size of fry.
Was that recent? Did they make that change recently?
No, no. In-N-Out Burger, that's as far as I know, that's the way it's always been.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you can get the burger. You can get an animal style, but you can't get, like, chicken nuggets, I don't think.
You can't have it your way when it comes to In-N-Out. It's just you get what they give you kind of thing.
There's the worst fries in the market anyway.
They're pretty gross.
Never eaten at In-N-Out Burger. I know they were sort of noteworthy during COVID because they weren't cracking down on all the mandates due to them being like ultra Christian or something.
That's interesting considering that they're based in California.
Yeah,
they have John 3:16 on all their cups and bags and stuff.
It's kind of like Chick-fil-A. They got some Bible verse.
Yeah, they're just not as out there with it. Like, they don't hate gay people or whatever.
Tim, thanks for the call tonight, man. I do appreciate hearing from you. Let's continue with Saheed. He's on the line in Maryland. Saheed, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey,
assalamu alaikum. Hello. Wa alaikum salam.
Hey, so I just wanted to jump in on the conversation there because there's a cool thing that I was working on with Bitcoin Cash. It's you guys actually used it before. It was called Flipstarter. But the crypto sticks, I remember you guys ran one.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't do it, but somebody else did, which was very kind of them.
You've used Flipstarter before. You were not allowed to use
That's
cryptocurrency
true.
With
yeah,
the
Flipstarter.
Ian
yeah.
Smith thing.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I'll run one. I was saying that you guys used it before, but it's actually related to your...
Yeah, Flipstarter, for listeners that don't know, is a fundraising application based around Bitcoin Cash that allows you to set a goal, kind of like, you know, a chip-in used to be back in the day, where you set a goal and then people can donate to it anonymously if they so choose, and you hopefully reach the goal, and then you get the Bitcoin Cash, right?
It's all or nothing, kind of like Kickstarter rather than a GoFundMe, where a lot of crypto donation sites are more like GoFundMe. Anybody can kind of send in whatever they like, and you get the funds immediately. With Flipstarter, though, it's called an insurance contract, but basically it doesn't go through unless everybody, or unless you meet the entire goal. And it's all cryptographically kind of secure, so your money never actually goes into anybody else's custody while it's being pulled up, basically. I mean, you're just signing, like, partial transactions. And that can be used for something like making bulk purchases from a supplier. So people can go, you can actually go ahead and say that you get a bunch of New Hampshire eggs, kind of put in to go ahead and buy something in bulk. If you guys don't meet that goal, you can have, like, the supplier's address as the recipient, right? And so everybody can go ahead and chip in their bit, but nobody's actually holding custody of it.
Huh.
And it won't actually go through unless, you know, enough is raised. And then once it does, it goes directly to the supplier, or it could be a middleman. I actually don't see any problem with a middleman.
How is that working? Because normally with, I don't know what all the features they've added to Bitcoin Cash in recent years.
No,
it used to just be you sent the Bitcoin Cash and that was it, and it went to where it was going. Is this like a smart contract or something?
It is like a smart contract. Everything in Bitcoin, all the addresses are little smart contracts. But this one is a special one that's also in Bitcoin, actually. It's not just in Bitcoin Cash. This is Prefork. It's one of the original types of it's called a SIG hash. I'm a developer, and so I kind of like it's a low-level kind of like flag that you can set.
Can you help me out to understand? Well, so let's say there's, 100.
Uh-oh, Mark just totally froze in the middle of his question there. This is one of the downsides of having people on the show remotely. Actually, it wasn't even Mark. It was my studio computer.
Did it turn blue?
That has frozen. No, but I suspect the blue screen will be coming at some
Uh-oh.
Point.
This happened twice with Mark, me, and you on.
Yeah, it's been some time since it has occurred. But, Saheed, we do still have you. I sounded like Mark was trying to ask you to explain something, but I'm not really sure what it was that he was going to ask you about.
Yeah, same here. It is a little bit complicated, but the whole idea is that people can kind of like it's almost like putting money on the table, except nobody else can kind of grab it. It's just like it's like a check that can only go through unless enough checks, are made out to make equal that the intended amount. Because obviously with Bitcoin, it's not like I don't need to get more detail.
Yeah, sure. Now, we don't have to go out into the technical weeds, but I mean, normally when you have Bitcoin Cash in a Bitcoin Cash wallet, there's a certain amount of it. So let's say you have a half of a Bitcoin Cash and you pledge, you know, 0.3 of your Bitcoin Cash to this this Flipstarter. Would the wallet prohibit you from spending more than what you've pledged after that fact?
Yeah, it's basically you're signing a transaction, so you'll go ahead and sign that Bitcoin over, and you'll have your change come back to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just, at that point, it's just a transaction. Nothing has left your wallet yet.
Mm.
But you go ahead and share that, put it into the pool, put that transaction on the table, right?
Yeah.
Nobody can actually use that transaction because say that the goal is to raise one whole Bitcoin. Well, you only signed 0.3, and maybe there's only a couple other people who signed some, and say that it's like only 0.5.
So it does lock it up, basically. It locks the amount.
It does not lock it. Basically, the transaction will never go through. It's like we're signing a, it's like almost like signing a check that you don't have enough funds for, you know. And so it's that's just not valid. It won't be valid until there is enough funds there, just like in a regular bank, you know. It's not like there's any overdraft. That's what I was trying to say. There's no overdraft in Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
And so that's just sort of how it works. So I go ahead and sign the transaction for the 0.3, put it on the table, and only until we get a full one Bitcoin there, because that's what you signed for, said that this will only go out to this person for one Bitcoin. And so it won't be broadcastable until there's enough there. And then it'll all be packaged up together and sent up.
Very cool.
So usually that'd be responsible for the campaigner or a third party to kind of like collect those signatures until it's ready to go and then broadcast it.
So as a Bitcoin Cash guy, Saheed, what are your thoughts? I mean, I don't know if you heard Bonnie kind of going off on people earlier. You know, not enough people are doing the activism. Not enough people are bringing people on board. I mean, certainly we've seen tremendous success with that down in St. Kitts and Nevis, but that's pretty much the hot spot for Bitcoin Cash acceptance. Yeah. I mean, you're out there, you're plugged into the community. What do you have to say?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's been some developments on that. I don't know if you've heard Orlando... one of the people who were going ahead and putting in legislation for legal tender, he got arrested for something, and then I think he got let go afterwards. But so that went down, and then I've heard that most of the funding for most of the adoption efforts down there came from a single source. And so,
on the island that Ian's talking about? Oh.
Yep, thank you.
So you're saying the prime minister guy who was saying they were going to bring in a legal tender law for...
Yeah, prime minister might not be the right word there. It's one of the parliament guys.
Yeah, yeah. He was like a fairly high up dude, though, from what I understand, and he was saying they were going to try to put forward some kind of bill. You're saying he got arrested.
Yeah.
Is he still in his position, or did he have to resign?
You know what? I did not double check, but I believe he may have resigned. But don't take my word for it. This is politics. I don't really pay attention.
Yeah,
to it, but
that's a bit of a setback.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy.
The real problem was that with the adoption efforts, that the Sunny was pretty well tied in with Orlando. And this is just rumor mill, but they actually there's been people on there since the announcement who went ahead and mentioned about how the adoption has dropped significantly. Because that's the issue with merchant adoption is that it's not exactly the most sustainable thing to keep without a lot of effort.
Well, that was one of my questions when I first heard about the island and all these businesses. They had like 100-plus businesses on board, and I said, I spoke to Roger Veer, who's one of the kind of the movers and shakers down there, the founder of Bitcoin.com. I asked him, I said, like, well, is this just you, Roger? Are you going around, you know, doing all this? Is it just you and your buddies that are going and buying things with Bitcoin Cash? And he insisted that there were actual, like, regular folks who were getting paid in Bitcoin Cash down there, and it wasn't 100%. Just him and Sonny.
I was just talking about the adoption, pushing the adoption efforts, so, like, to kind of get more merchants onboarded, to teach people about what's going on. There's definitely real interest. You know, it's like the difference between grassroots versus astroturfing at the same time. You know, both can happen at the same time. Especially when, and it doesn't even have to be astroturfing in a deliberate sense. It can just be, you know, somebody's putting in a lot of money, and it just happens to be from a centralized source. And then once that goes away, for example, like with the crypto bear market, then it's difficult to keep it maintained, you know? if it's not something that's completely grassroots and those people are still satisfied with the product. And all
well,
that.
That's definitely true. But the thing I was trying to say was I think that people who are enough people, maybe if some, it's just an idea, so it's not like it's some kind of business plan that I thought of 45 seconds ago. But I think that somebody or some people that have enough money and interest in Bitcoin need to just forget about getting random store owners to accept Bitcoin, because I mean that just isn't going to happen fast enough. And like you're saying, it's not sustainable. Like we've had lots of them get lost in Keen over the last couple of years.
You mean they've gone out of business, that kind of thing?
Well, not just that, but they just stopped taking crypto.
That has happened to a couple of them, but most of them they stop because they don't exist anymore.
And also, it's just like some people are like afraid to spend it because, oh my God, I'm so scared of the government now because Ian got arrested. Or there are people who stop spending it because of the bear market, like you said. But I think somebody needs to just skip all that altogether and convince a manufacturer to accept Bitcoin. Which wouldn't even need to be the most important thing, just as long as somebody started, I don't know, somebody needs to start selling, like, some basic things. And I think that the guy who started, we kind of just went off on a tangent about, not Whataburger, the other burger.
In-N-Out Burger.
In-N-Out Burger. Yeah. But I think they were trying to say, like, you don't need to sell everything Walmart sells. Just sell some, like, things that people need, like cups and plates and whatever else that you get at Walmart that you need. Get a manufacturer that will, like, accept Bitcoin and then sell things like that for Bitcoin and just be like, I don't accept anything else. Leave rich people.
Getting deeper in the supply chain. And I totally agree. That's actually why I was mentioning about those assurance contracts, because you can actually go ahead and pull in a lot of people to kind of purchase things in bulk and actually get cost savings for everybody at the same time, too. And so there's, like, actual benefit to people to kind of, like, pitch in to those things. And it's non-custodial, so it's, you know, pretty SEC-friendly type of thing. Especially if it's, I think one of the big problems is it shouldn't ever be a somebody else kind of thing. This is an economy. You know, we all need to kind of be pitching into this. Just throwing money at a certain thing isn't exactly the best route either. Because like I said, there's several reasons. Since I'm a builder, I kind of see some of these issues that kind of pop up from, it kind of creates a codependency where people think that they're going to go ahead, somebody else is going to build it, as long as they keep on supporting it, marketing it. But if you market something before it's actually sustainable, then they can actually go ahead and take the whole platform down if it's too soon or whatnot. We all have to go ahead and, this is an economy, basically. I don't think it's a somebody else problem. It's like,
yeah, that's what I was trying to say to Bonnie is, like, this has to be grassroots. It has to be coming up from the people that want to buy the manufacturer's product. You're never going to get a manufacturer to do anything with Bitcoin just by having a few customers down the line call up and you know, bug them about it. I mean, maybe.
The bulk thing does help that, though, because you can actually get a bunch of people. You can get a significant amount of funds going in that satisfies with them, because they usually have a certain amount to go ahead and get a price cut. And that's just basically what they're saying is we want people to buy this much, you know. We prefer this many people. So that's right. It's already baked into the price scheme right there. And so as long as you find enough people to go ahead and make that, to go ahead and buy enough of those items, then they're satisfied, you're satisfied, everybody's happy.
Yeah, well, once again, you got to get enough people who are willing to spend their Bitcoin.
Yeah, you can collect those signatures. Yeah, you can collect those signatures outside of, take your time with it.
Saeed, Mark is, I think, back with us here. I don't know if we have audio from him. Mark, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, you were in the middle of asking Saeed a question. I don't know if we ended up covering it, but go ahead.
Yeah, basically my question is, what if I make a promise to pay on this Bitcoin Cash protocol that you're talking about where, you know, a bunch of people can get together and make a purchase, and if all the money is sort of accounted for, then the purchase will be made. And let me make the example. So it's $100,000.
We actually did get into this, Mark. I'm pretty sure we already answered the
what happened?
Question.
Well, help me out. Somebody answer it for me.
Yeah, basically it's a multi-signature contract or whatever, multi-signature transaction, and if it doesn't reach the amount that it needs to send, then it will.
Yeah, you can spend it. Once you sign the transaction and give it to somebody to kind of collect all those signatures, so you have enough to actually make that final transaction eventually, you can still spend your coins in that during that process as well, because the money hasn't moved from your actual wallet. Another transaction coming before that one ever completes, you know, once it gets enough. So it's still your money the entire time. It's not until that they collect enough and then it's broadcasted does that money actually move, because, you know, money doesn't move until it's broadcast it.
So there's no lockdown then. So basically somebody could make a pledge and then renege on it, essentially?
Yes, exactly. And if, there's other ways to kind of like assume there's going to be cash tokens, so you can do it the other way around. But I actually prefer you know, keeping it flexible. There's a lot of cases where the flexibility not being locked is beneficial and useful.
Yeah. All right, Saheed, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. He's one of the programmers behind Bitcoin Cash and its flip starter method that they have for raising money. Let's bring Joe on the line. He's also in Maryland. Go ahead, Joe.
Hello, Bonnie Parker. Hello, Ian.
Parker?
Hello,
Ian, we go through this every time. Bonnie Parker is Bonnie and Clyde's last name.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Clyde was something else.
Go ahead,
Baron.
Joe.
It's just a joke.
Yeah.
What do you call it? For the nitwits from the government that are listening to this program, here, let me say the United States for you right now and save Joseph Biden. What you do is you have Biden come up with a press conference and say, hey, we got all these massive oil reserves. Guess what? We're going to do some drilling. We're going to allow a new oil refinery to be built. Number two, there's a company that's experimenting with a liquid energy that's supposed to be able to replace a lithium battery. So we're going to give them a grant to get that energy company started big. Number three, there are many new power plants that can power whole cities for 50 years. Hey, we're going to start putting them up. Giving grants to experiment to make uranium more safe. Guess what? You're packed together, all these other countries. Your oil's going to be worth nothing because we're going to destroy it just like that. Now, get in line, boys, or here we come.
Okay. I'm not really sure I really followed what you were proposing.
Okay, what they're using economics. They're trying to destroy the dollar, and I'm trying to help the government out here right now to stick it to them, because I like sticking it to people.
Why would you want to help the government's dollar?
Because we're suffering right now.
Well, I think the best way to end the suffering is to rip the Band-Aid off and let the dollar just completely fail, and then maybe something else can rise up in its place of value.
But by its nature, can't get better.
That's true.
Yeah, but that also might stop them from fighting everything, because it's a war against the dollar. If you say, hey, we can crush it.
Well, I got to let you go, Joe. Your phone's kind of janky, but I do appreciate the call here tonight. And as far as I'm concerned, I hope the dollar loses the war, because it deserves to die. Most fiat currencies don't last as long as it has, and it is on borrowed time at this point. There's more coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live, and you can join us.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump's supporters are criticizing Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. The former president's facing about 30 charges, but his supporters say DA Bragg has more pressing issues to focus on.
Alvin Bragg is doing nothing for violent criminals. Nothing. Nothing in this city.
What the hell is wrong with this guy while he releases criminals on the streets of New York every day? Shoplifting is rampant. Armed robbery is rampant. And look what's happening in the subways.
There's always been bad blood between Bragg and Trump. The Pentagon is confident it limited the surveillance capabilities of that Chinese balloon that flew over the U.S. earlier this year.
What we did do is take precautionary steps to limit the intelligence value that it would be able to collect.
Defense Department spokeswoman Sabrina Singh told reporters Monday the U.S. took measures to protect intel from sensitive military sites after discovery of the balloon in U.S. airspace in late January. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Join the show here, and you can bring up what you want. We got time for you. If you dial in now, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Mark.
And again, you can join us on the phones. You can join us online as well. Just head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that we have waiting for you there. Once again, that is freetalklive.com. Want to get into this petrodollar situation where, you know, we were just talking with Joe in Maryland about the war against the dollar, and I think it's high time that the dollar be taken down a peg, if not taken down entirely. And, of course, the petrodollar, the fact that it is being used and has been used as essentially the pricing of oil for the purchase of oil all around the planet for decades is one of the things that keeps it kind of propped up. It's in high demand by countries all around the world for that specific reason. And we may be starting to see those things changing now. Last week it was in the news that Brazil and China have come to an agreement that they will no longer be doing trade with each other in dollars. Instead, they will use their country's native currencies, the real and the Chinese yuan, in order to conduct their trade, as China has now surpassed the United States with Brazil as far as its number one trading partner. It was the United States. It is now China. So we saw that happen. We saw the French government slash maybe their power company or something do a 65,000-ton liquefied natural gas deal with China and paid in the yuan in that case, if I recall correctly. So, you know, things are getting a little bit interesting out there. Maybe it's much ado about nothing, but then you've also got the BRICS countries that apparently are now surpassing the G7 countries, the United States, the European Union, Canada, Japan, and a few others. The BRICS countries, Russia, you've got China, you've got India, you've got Brazil, you've got South Africa. Their percentage of the world GDP has gone up consistently for quite a while now, and it has now apparently surpassed the G7 countries. So you've got a situation where these other countries have quite a lot of wealth now at their disposal that they didn't have just 20 or 30 years ago, and it's led to a very interesting situation. We have the audio here from Professor Peter St. Ange, who has been following this situation very closely. He's with the Mises Institute. And
good friend of mine.
Oh, you know him. Okay, cool.
I know him well, yeah.
Yeah, he seems pretty cool.
I guess good friend is an exaggeration. I know him well.
He seems like a really cool guy. He's got his finger on the pulse of this stuff pretty closely. So I'm going to just let him give the update of what's happened over the weekend with the latest with this oil cutback with over, a billion barrels a day, but he'll throw it out here for you.
Hey, guys. The big news over the weekend was a massive supply cut from OPEC and Russia and what that will do to inflation. Oil jumped $7 on the news, and the announcement cuts a total of 1.6 million barrels. Now, about a third of that was Russia, cutting about 500,000 through the end of the year. Saudi pitched in for another 500,000 cut. Iraq, 211. Kuwait, 128. United Arab Emirates, 144, Algeria, 48. There was something for everybody. Now, what makes this interesting is Biden's been draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which was originally intended as an emergency buffer to oil supply cutoffs.
Right. You guys remember when the oil price or when the gas price was hitting like $4.25, $4.50 per gallon last year?
Yeah, and Biden apparently was like, I'm going to tap into our reserves at the price a little.
So that's what's happened. That's why you're seeing prices at like $3.10 or $3.25 or whatever.
So right. I mean, people were putting stickers of, I did that with Joe Biden's face on it,
yes.
On gas pumps and pointing at the gas price. And, you know, you can't, like, we're trying to run a campaign here, Joe. And so they, ultimately that's going to be the problem. If it's, the Clintons used to say it's the economy, stupid, and that certainly is a big issue, but gas price is sort of the simplest way to describe the economy to people.
Let me go on here with more of Peter St. Ange. So he's saying they already have been drawing down this oil supply, but they haven't been replenishing it.
That reserve is now down by about half since he took office, from 638 million barrels to 371.
Kind of like the FDIC.
What do you mean?
Because isn't it down by so much that we don't have enough?
Oh, the Deposit Insurance Fund. Yeah, it's down too. I don't know if it's by half, but it has gone down. For sure.
Well, you know, the modern monetary theory just suggests that politicians can do whatever they want to help the economy, and it'll be fine. But the other side of it is when the economy's doing well, when it's chugging along, that's when you're supposed to be, you know, skimming a little bit off and putting it back in the coffers. Mm-hmm. And, they never do that.
It doesn't work when it's
and that's why this
ever
doesn't work.
Doing well, though.
Oh, the economy does well, sure. They could do it. They just don't.
All right, we go on here with Peter St. Ange.
The lowest since 1983, and it's down to about 18 days worth of oil. You have Chinese takeout in the fridge that will last longer. So why did his handlers do this? Because they strangled domestic production while pumping inflation, and they had to keep oil prices low enough to get through the midterm elections.
I like that. Just get right. get right to the point. Why do his handlers do this?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of people being like, oh, well, Biden's not the one doing it. He's not the one in charge. Yeah, his handlers
he's
are.
He's clearly just doing what he's told.
Curves into the market. Does that, for a moment at least. Now, here's where today's cuts come in. So the White House had said it would stop the drawdowns right after the elections. Yes, D.C. is that cynical. And then they would go on to refill it as prices got low. This promise to refill was essentially a price floor on oil, and it reassured the Saudis that they could keep pumping despite a slowing world economy. Right? Slower economies use less oil, and so oil prices often go down. Now, 2 weeks ago, the White House flipped, and they broke that promise. They decided to keep draining. Why did they do that? Perhaps to please the green activists. Perhaps they no longer fear crises, given a lapdog media, and given how good the last crisis was for them. So according to the Financial Times, this flip is exactly what set Saudi off. And they led OPEC Plus to do exactly what you expect. They cut a deal to cut production to put their own floor on oil prices. So this is very bad timing. A perfect storm, you might say, after the White House just
spent... Do you like kicking his podium?
Might be. That may be what the noise is. Or it's Mark. I don't know.
Three-year strangling
production.
That includes blocking pipelines for cheap oil from Canada to North Dakota, blocking exploration on 16 million acres of land, and even threatening oil companies with bankruptcy and their executives with jail, which is not ideal for eliciting new investment in production. And raw materials, that strangled knocked production down by about a third compared to the Trump-era trend. That's about 4 million barrels. For scale, Saudi only produces 9 million barrels. So what's next for regular Americans? Higher prices for gas.
I think he's talking about per day. I just want to be clear. It says here in, this is from USA Today, the Associated Press report is that Saudi Arabia and other major oil producers announced surprise cuts totaling 1.15 million barrels per day from May until the end of the year. So just to be clear, we're not talking about 1.5 million barrels till the end of the year. It's 1.5 million per day until the end of the year. So big cut.
Gasoline, heating fuel, really for everything, since energy goes into everything, goes into factories, delivery trucks, electricity bills at the grocery store. And what's next for the dollar? So this is further erosion in reserve currency status because Saudi's move just confirmed the petrodollar security for dollars deal is unraveling before our eyes. Okay, we'll be watching.
Yeah, well, it can't happen soon enough as far as I'm concerned.
So tell me what the world's going to be like when the dollar, unravels. I mean, I get that, you know, that fiat currency isn't good, but of all the fiat currencies out there, I like the dollar the best.
Why? Just because you were born with it?
No, because it benefits me as an American.
Well, yeah, I know. It's going to be bad when it happens for pretty much everybody that lives in America or places where the U.S. dollar is a thing. It's going to be bad for a while.
Yeah, well,
right. I mean, you know, and that's what I'm saying is Ian's really coming out here and calling the baby ugly. Hey, I hope your kid gets C's in school. I mean, like, screw you, buddy. That's how I feel about that.
You've got time. You've got time to, you know, possibly get some alternatives, right? I mean, this is what Aaron Day was talking about, the Republican presidential candidate, when he was advocating for a bank run happening ASAP. Is like, you still got time. You may have 90 days or whatever, who knows? We're not financial advisors, but you may want to consider taking some of those dollars and putting them into something that the government can't destroy.
I think even with people that have a whole bunch of gold, it's going to be tough times ahead. Like,
yeah, it is going to be tough times ahead.
And
the reason is because the government has made this tough times. They
right.
have.
I'm not saying that you should. You're wrong.
The reckoning is coming. Okay, people have been predicting it for decades. So whether it's around the corner or whether it's going to be another 5 years, I don't know.
But 19,000 people that live in the town that we live in are not prepared for it. They haven't been paying attention that's coming for however many years, and they're going to start freaking out, and it's going to be scary to walk coconut when there's a bunch of psychos in the streets who are starving.
And that's why I suggest, Ian, that you not advocate for the destruction of the dollar. You could just say, hey, this is occurring. And it is. Ladies and gentlemen, every fiat currency has failed. Every functional world reserve currency that we've had heretofore is no longer, and it's now the dollar. And you know, at some point or another, everything changes in history. You can be certain of it. Will it be next month? Will it be next year? Will it be in a decade? Will it be in 30 years? I'm not claiming to know, but I am claiming it's going to happen, and you need to be prepared for it. I wouldn't personally, I would not say to somebody, hey, Asian car you're driving, I hope it is destroyed on the way home because, you know, this or that. It's just an awful thing to wish on somebody. I mean, you're really talking about, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that your lifestyle begins to plummet.
Your lifestyle is based on evil, it's not that he's not right. My thing is I'm just scared that there's going to be backlash. Like I said 2 years ago, I'm afraid that when the dollar crashes, people like, you know, politicians are going to come out ahead of it and be like, Bitcoin is destroying the dollar, because it probably will be destroying the dollar, and then the masses are going to be like, Bitcoin destroyed my dollar. We need to get Ian Freeman, yeah! And then there's going to be mobs. I'm not even joking. Like, the idiots in Keene, New Hampshire, or just, like, the white trash that live around here, if they hear, I heard on the news that Bitcoin is destroying the dollar. That's why all this hyperinflation is happening? Let's get that Ian Freeman guy!
Whatever. That is not my concern at all, and I'm not.
It's not his concern. No,
I'm not wishing bad times on anyone. I'm not wishing bad times on anyone. I just want it to happen sooner rather than later. I think it'd be better if it got done now rather than kick the can down the road for another decade and make matters worse and worse and worse. Because when the time comes for this thing, it is going to be bad.
No, it's not. Not necessarily. Tell me how bad it was for Great Britain when the pound sterling ceased to be the world reserve currency. I mean, here you are talking doom and gloom because you heard libertarians say
it.
But libertarians have been wrong every year after year after year on this topic.
But not as far as when it happens. They're wrong about when it's going to happen. But
they're wrong on what will happen, too.
Okay, well, tell me what's wrong with the prediction.
Look at Great Britain. Great Britain go through some kind of terrible, eat-the-dog kind of recession? No, nothing happened there.
You mean when its currency became not the world reserve currency?
The pound sterling was at one point the world reserve currency, mm-hmm. effectively. I mean, it wasn't the same situation going on, but effectively it was the same. There's some similarities that you can look at. And the disappearance of the pound sterling as the world reserve currency hasn't really negatively affected life in Great Britain.
I think multiple factors are going on. It's not just like, right now, I don't know, the yuan is getting up there and it's about to beat the U.S. dollar. I think that a lot worse stuff is happening with the U.S. dollar than just... Sorry, Mark couldn't hear us for a second, but I think the multiple things are happening at once. It's not just the one's about to beat us, and we're just going to have a healthy competition. I don't know enough about the pound sterling.
Whatever that was, it was over 100 years ago, right? Because there was, I forget who said it, but it might have been St. Ange who pointed this out in a recent video, but the average length of the existence of a reserve currency for the world has been about 100 years. And so
I've heard like 43. I would say that prior to World War II, the pound sterling was still the world reserve currency. It was de jure currency.
So how long did it take for the pound sterling to dethrone from the world reserve?
Oh, all these things happen in an instant.
Even 100 years ago, where the information didn't travel as quickly as it did today?
When the United States, basically, they went into World War II as a, and at the time, currencies were all backed on an international level. So you don't have the same things going on where there's no fractional reserve banking any longer or anything like that. I mean, there's many factors that have changed, but basically Great Britain went into, there was a huge, huge depression. And going into the depression, certainly Great Britain was doing fine and everything was great. Through that Great Depression, they were still the world reserve currency into World War II. Coming out of World War II, this chaos, The United States is basically the only place in the world that you can that can make a toaster or a washing machine, because everybody else has been bombed into rubble. And as a result, the dollar, the crown moves over from Great Britain to the United States, and the United States becomes, the world leader. And some very sly, very smart people went to the Saudis and said, hey, we have an idea. Why don't you accept dollars for your oil, and we'll protect you? And as a result, that's why they say the full faith and credit of the United States, it's backed by the U.S. military. That's why the dollar is, the petrodollar is backed by the U.S. Military is the claim, because they'll protect Saudi Arabia. And so that's basically how it went. There's a variety of predictions, and some have softer and some have harder landings. I wouldn't recommend that, don't live your life as though the worst thing is always going to be the thing that's going to happen. What do they say? Look for the worst, hope for the best, usually it's somewhere in between.
Well, then if you're as optimistic as you are, then why not call for the end to the dollar's reserve currency status? Call for it happening sooner rather than later if you don't think it's going to be so bad.
I don't think that my words have anything make any difference, and I'm not going to tell somebody that I hope something terrible happens to them.
If it's so terrible, I don't know. You're saying two things at once. You're saying that it's going to be terrible and that it's going to be fine at the same time.
Okay. You probably will not, begin to eat the dog and have to the
production
the
will continue. The market is there. The sources for products and food are going to keep manufacturing them. But there will likely be a financial squeeze. You will likely see double-digit inflation if this ends. I mean, if the dollar's domination ends. St. Ange pointed this out the other day, that when this happens, you've got a rush of money coming in from these like central banks and corporations that are currently holding these dollars that presumably will be desperate to sell them at, pennies on the dollar or some fraction of what they're currently worth. And that's going to push the value of the dollar down, and that is going to likely result in the prices of things going up as all of that internationally held dollars starts coming back into the United States.
That's inevitable. That sure is.
Let it happen sooner rather than later. It's not wishing ill on anyone. It's just saying, end the charade. Let's pull the Band-Aid off and see what happens.
My wish is that it happens slowly. It's going to happen. But ladies and gentlemen, you ought to hope that it happens slowly, because when a globe's worth of dollars comes crashing in on the U.S. economy, you will see prices skyrocket.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's
Russia
serious.
And China and Saudi Arabia don't want or use dollars anymore. It's going to be very, very bad.
Yes.
And, the politicians will probably just decide, throw those bums out, get new bums in there, and it'll be all over the same thing, here and there.
But
and
the
remember,
good news is they're not
the things
going to be able
of value,
to...
the things of value in your life are things that you can use. You can't eat a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
You can eat... you can eat food that you've managed to store, but I don't recommend carbohydrates. You can use a computer, anything that you buy, think about how long it's going to last you. The definition of wealth is how long you can go on without working.
Right. So it is a serious situation, but when it happens, and it's going to likely happen at some point, again, if it's not... this month, if it's not this year, not this decade, who knows when. They've got all kinds of tricks up their sleeve to kick this can down the road. But when it does finally come, when these other nation states send their dollars back in, they get rid of them, they all come back, and like you said, prices go up, inflation, that's what the definition of inflation is, more dollars chasing around the same amount of goods. Usually it's by printing, but it can also be by just bringing them all back in from everybody around the world that's holding them that says, yeah, we don't need this crap anymore. That, at the very least, despite whatever the politicians, the next batch of politicians that gets into office says they're not going to be able to push this on the rest of the world again. That scam has run its course. They are done as far as being the world's reserve currency.
And I'd like to remind the listening audience that there's different teams out there. It's not just one group of international bankers that is trying to get you to use the dollar, or get the world to use the dollar, or anything like that. There are different teams. As you mentioned, BRICS, which is like Russia, Brazil, China, India. Yeah, I can never remember. I can't rattle them all off. South Africa.
They're talking about doing their own currency now.
And, this is an interesting idea. What are they going to do? But just, ladies and gentlemen, just remember, just because the U.S. and G7 is better doesn't mean that they win every time. You think about the Yankees and whatever the worst baseball team is this year. Or last year, the Yankees lost games, and the worst team won games. So don't expect that every time the dollar is going to win. And it can always it's one little battle that can turn the war, and you never know. I mean, and this is economic war, believe it.
Yep, you don't ever know. Let's go to David in New Mexico. But you can prepare yourself, and there are some options out there, like cryptocurrency, like precious metals, that you may want to consider. But David, go ahead. You're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, you guys are missing a whole bunch of ideas on the monetary system. But
pick one of them.
First of all, MLK said injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Niemöller said first they came for the trade unionists, but I wasn't one, so I didn't care. And then they came for the communists, and they came for the Jews. Then they came for Ian. Oh, wait, that was Bonnie. Bonnie said, as if it's not writing on the wall that it's going to happen to you very soon. Thank God it's not happening to me. They'll come after you eventually. Maybe you're not the first on the list like Ian. But then there's somebody else who's been screaming a Niemöller type thing for a decade or more, and every case, as I've told you, is the same case. It comes down to a wrongful taking of rights. So if you get what I'm pointing at there.
Well, they will definitely take people's rights, and there's very little that people can do about it besides mass civil disobedience, mass non-cooperation, and we just don't have enough people. We don't have enough people willing to do that stuff yet. It's going to have to get worse before it gets better, basically.
Are you there?
Yep, right here.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, the keying up MLK and injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. I've been screaming for a decade, and now they got you.
They're going to get everybody they want to get, unless they run out of time and there's enough people to oppose it. Thank you for the call tonight, David. And we are out of time for you, but Mark will join us, I think, for tomorrow night as well.
That's the plan.
We'll see you then online. In the meantime, you can join us at freetalklive.com.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is a need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. Folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Cue the maraschino cherry. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.